Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Help, I Sexted My Boss Does I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Usually, this is the podcast where Jordan and I help you navigate the challenges of modern life, but we're not in normal times. As you should know by now, I'm with you every day with a special, shiny edition of our podcast, keeping you up to date with what's going on in Jordan's life. He's currently on an ITV reality show, having to go through all sorts of trials and extreme conditions, all in the name of light entertainment. I'm William Hansen, etiquette coach by day. I'm more a delicious fruitcake. Jordan's more a venomous grass snake. Don't know if grass snakes are venomous, but go with it, June Divas. Well, what a couple of weeks it has been. Viper vaults, cliff tops, policemen, happy places, public votes, Jeff. Then there were those hideous eating trials where all sorts of fatty, gelatinous rubbish had to be digested. Yes, well done to the G and Divas and Ben who did Picky Teas each Friday. Now, indeed, speaking of which, scuttling up to the microphone like an overeager cockroach with a questionable moustache, producer Ben.
Hi, guys. I'd like to see that cockroach.
Yes, be a comedy cockroach. Sounds like a Pixar cockroach.
Yes, or maybe a cockroach. I'm imagining a cockroach with one of those sort of horrible plastic moustaches you get in Christmas crackers, or maybe you don't get, because you probably get some sort of like car in your Christmas crackers or something. But
not a car, Fabergé.
There we go.
Fortnum & Mason's deluxe range. Coming up later in today's episode, I'm going to be chatting to the actor and former King of the Jungle, the winner of Series 7 of I'm a Celebrity, Christopher Biggins.
I think the moment he threw up on the top of that cliff, he was my winner. He's been absolutely charming. I think he's just handled it brilliantly. He's made people laugh. He laughs at himself. And people come to me for advice if they're going into the jungle. And my advice always is, be yourself. And he is.
See, there on the script you've written, I-A-C-G-M-O-O-H. Which I feel at some points acronyms become more work than they're worth. You could just put I'm a celeb, like you said out loud, but instead you put I-A-C-G-M-O-O-H, which, fair play to you.
I was bored. It helps me fill the time waiting for Jordan to come out of the castle. And we should just say, if you are listening to this podcast contemporaneously, we have only got 5 more episodes of I'm a Celebrity. The final is on Friday coming up, which means, Ben, potentially, depending on now that the voting has happened and we're voting to keep our favourites in the camp, if Jordan makes it to the final, G and Divas, you've got 5 more episodes of this. If Jordan comes out before, I get an early night. It's
win-win.
Win-win, really. I'm fairly relaxed about everything.
Well, I had a good old lie-in yesterday, so I'm feeling refreshed and ready to go for the final 5 days. And looking back, it's been 2 weeks now, Jordan being on our television screens. Obviously, he's been in a castle. I don't know which is more of a challenge, watching it for 2 weeks or being in the castle. But yeah, I guess it's time for a bit of reflection. How do you think Jordan has changed since he got into the castle because, well, I mean, it seems so long ago now, but when we first saw him on that cliff, he was in a very different place to where he is now, literally and metaphorically.
Yes. It was all downhill from there. Or indeed not. It was actually all uphill for Jordan because he has really developed as a person. We love him, obviously, very much. But I think he has... I want to say he's matured. I thought about saying matured, but then I remembered Jeff. So maybe he and also pulling Shane's finger. So maybe matured isn't the word. But I think he has... Sort of the way he looks at obstacles or challenges in his life... And what he has learnt in these first 2 weeks, and he may go no further, who knows, I think he will, then when he has, you know, a lesser challenge in life, because I doubt very much there are going to be many more opportunities in his life where he's locked in a box with snakes crawling all over him, although we have got a tour to do in the spring, so we haven't planned that yet. I think he will sort of go, well, I've done that, so actually this is a doddle. Because Jordan, you know, we've said on the podcast before, Jordan sometimes when he's going through sort of difficult life, career, social decisions, sometimes, you know, and I do the same with him, we'll phone each other, sort of talk it through. Jordan perhaps needs more talking through because he's a talker, hence his job. But I actually think probably, although I would hope he still phones me for advice, I think actually he'll be a lot more self-assured and confident as he... goes about every aspect of his life.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people, and this is getting quite philosophical now, which isn't, we often don't get sort of serious on Help Us Ex My Boss, but we have our moments, I'd say.
We'll do a penis joke in a minute. Just stay with us, Jane Beavers.
But I think a lot of people often say, oh, they'll consider change as a bad thing.
Yes.
Or someone sort of developing, it'll be like, oh, he's changed. But I think... I completely disagree with that as a thought process. I think changing is what we can all do to become better people. And I think not only has Jordan sort of developed himself, I think just being in that environment, he, as this podcast proves for both of you, for everyone involved, we get along with people that aren't always exactly like us. And I think Jordan has once again been flung into a situation where he's with 11 other people, probably most of whom are nothing like him on paper. He wouldn't normally go for a pint with Mo Farah or, I mean, he'd be making tea for Victoria Derbyshire, but actually being on a level with them and just having hopefully a nice time as well as being starving and being forced to do awful, awful trials, he'll have learnt so much about himself. And yeah, it does make me, I'm in the last few days, I've sort of thought about a preemptive cry as well when it's over, which again it sounds quite weird, but I'm thinking about the end and thinking it's going to be quite emotional, isn't it, when this all sort of wraps up. I think,
well, that's the sleep deprivation.
That's the joke.
It'll do that for you. I think it'll be very interesting, and you know, if nothing else, it's a good chapter of the inevitable autobiography in 10 or 20 years. So
is there an autobiography called Unbroken? Is that the name of...
Oh, it is someone's.
Is that the name of Barack Obama's new autobiography? Or is that Michelle Obama's?
No, she's Becoming.
Is it Michelle?
Oh my God, can you imagine Becoming. Jordan North?
I swear. Well, I was going to say Broken Jordan North. There was one called Unbroken, but maybe I've made that up.
Jordan's autobiography is going to be called Happy Place. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, of course. Well... in another world, the second one might be called Broken when it all goes wrong.
Or Happy Place, colon, Picky Tea.
Completely nonsensical, which makes sense. Now, this time last week, what we did was chatted through a few of the Gian Divas questions. So I thought
yes.
It was a nice opportunity to answer some more of those. I put it out on Instagram the other day, so we've got a couple to go through. Kay asked... what do you think Jordan will say when he discovers Ben has taken his place?
Well, Jordan, should we let them into a secret? So when we knew that this was going to be happening, but a few weeks before it was announced, when it was definitely confirmed that he was going, you and me started to plot what we were going to do. And we decided that we wouldn't tell Jordan because we didn't want to concern him. He had enough on his plate to worry about. So we wouldn't worry him. Once he's gone, we can do what we like, basically. But he did manage to emotionally blackmail us before he went to tell him what we were going to do. And so he is aware, but what I don't think he is aware of is, and I say these words reluctantly, it's a Sunday, so I'm feeling a bit weird. He wasn't aware of how good you would be in his shoes.
Wow, what a compliment. I mean, I struggle to take compliments, so I'll just skip back a bit, because when it was our job to tell Jordan this awkward news that I would be switching on the microphone for the first time, who was it down to? It was down to me. It was one of those situations where there's this awkward thing that everyone knows needs to be said. There's a group of people that know they need to say something to someone. And it's like the room goes silent and you just know that everyone's looking at you, waiting for you to say something. And as you'll know, if you listen to the podcast regularly, I don't say a lot. So difficult for me. But no, here we are. I mean, I haven't taken his place. Let's make that very clear. Jordan will very much be back on the microphone when he's back from the castle. So don't worry about that. But it's been good fun, hasn't it, William? And I'd like to think that maybe Jordan will laugh at least one of my jokes, probably the bush one, when he listens back to these.
Yes, the crudest of jokes. We've had another question in here from Sarah. What has been Jordan's moment of the series so far? Well, I think, you may have different thoughts, is the Viper Vault Happy Place chanting that he did.
Yeah.
Not so much, I don't think Jordan knows that that was his moment of the series so far, because obviously those celebrities have no idea what is being broadcast. I mean, look, the show is sort of 90 minutes maximum per night. I'm sure there is all sorts of comedy gold and things that have gone on that we haven't seen. But the fact that his sort of happy place has inspired, you know, it was in the news the other day, it's raised over £20,000 for the Burnley FC t-shirts that you can buy. If you, by the way, G&D Divas, want to buy them, there's a link in our bio on Twitter or on Instagram, so click on that and it'll take you to the right page. The proceeds from it go to, among others, Pendleside Hospice. Of course, we interviewed Beth and Sammy a few days ago. I think when Jordan comes out, regardless of anything else, that will be his proudest achievement.
I mean, think back to when we saw Anton Deck talking about that trial on the Instagram story, saying this is one of the best trials we've ever done. And I think we were both quite nervous about that, because it was our dear Jordan. But he got in that vault and, I mean, I can say this, stole the hearts of the nation. He has been on Sky Sports. He has had Burnley players talking about it. He's raised thousands and thousands of pounds for charity just because he was really scared and he took himself to his happy place. So when he discovers that, he's going to, I think, as you've mentioned yourself, I think before, he is going to well up and I think have a little cry to himself in the most nice way as possible, because what an impact he's had. And yep, I think that would be a highlight for most celebrities that step foot in the castle/jungle. And he did it on the sort of second day or third day or something like that. So, yeah, tough to beat. So many other things come to mind. I mean, scarf between the legs also. But for the impact, it has to be happy place, turf more, I think. Third question, just before we go to the break. Which celebrity in the castle would you like as a guest on the podcast when this all returns to normal? From Rob.
Jordan? Could he come on?
He could come on as a guest.
Yes,
a regular feature, maybe once every month, and we just
maybe on the bonus Friday episodes he could come on. Who would I like? I don't know, probably Ruthie Henshaw.
I knew you were gonna say Ruthie, you little rat.
No, or Beverly. I think it's got to be Beverly. Get Beverly on. We've had her stepdaughter, so we might as well have her. Have the woman herself.
Her book still hasn't arrived, actually. That reminds me. So as soon as I get the book, I'm just going to have to, I'll take the day off work. I'll probably forget to book a guest again, and I'll just read the book in one sitting, and then I can update the listeners that day.
Or key moments in Beverly Callard's life.
Does that sound okay to you?
Ben, as long as you're happy, I'm happy.
I don't know if that's true.
And talking of happy, I know something that's going to make you happy, and me fairly despondent. It's another look into the archive from a Jordan's joke of the week.
My boss hates it when I shorten his name to Dick, especially when he's called Steve.
That's not even funny. And remember, G&D Divas, every day you can vote as to who you would like to keep in the castle. We would like you to vote for Jordan. We would love you to vote for Jordan. All the information is on itv.com. Search for I'm a Celebrity and the information is there, or it's on any of I'm a Celebrity's social media as well. Remember, you are voting to keep people in the castle, not vote out. So if you like Jordan, if you want Jordan to stay, vote for Jordan. We'll be back after this.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is an introduction to the podcast that gets a flavour for your neighbour.
Peering over the fence when things have got tense.
With the most outrageous tales of your next door fails.
The time has come for you to listen to...
Score Next Door. My name's Rich Williams.
And I'm Emma Jones.
Score Next Door is our brand new podcast.
And we think you're going to love it.
Hopefully a bit more than you love your neighbours.
There's a new episode every Wednesday, so search for us wherever you listen to your podcast to find out what all the fuss is about.
And if you do love your neighbours, you might as well listen to the people that hate theirs.
Yeah, why not?
Our guest today is someone who is perhaps even more at home in a pair of high heels than our dear Jordan. The actor, former King of the Jungle and renowned pantomime dame, Christopher Biggins. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing very well, thank you. Now, what do you make of our Jordan in the castle?
I think the moment he threw up on the top of that cliff, he was my winner. I thought the vulnerability of him, and I know what it's like, that first initial thing. I mean, I was very lucky. I came in 3 days late into the jungle. And I didn't have to fly in. I didn't have to be jumped in. I didn't have to walk. I did nothing. All I did was walk in fact. And I walked in and joined, and I did a live challenge. Which was very terrifying. It was terrifying because I was behind a bush waiting to go on, and I could hear this American voice of a woman called Janice Dickinson, who turned out to be the most hideous woman I've ever met in my life. And she then proceeded to do that. She was charming. But anyway, we did the challenge, and she didn't do one single thing. I did everything, and I won all the stars. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Then I found out what a vile woman she was. So, and of course, we were down to the last two in the jungle. And I was convinced that she'd won, and she was convinced that she'd won. When it was announced that I'd won, she got up, went to a car, got into the car, went to the airport and flew home. It was very funny.
Oh, wow. Do you keep in touch?
No, sadly not. Every day when you're in the jungle, you're on the edge of your wooden stool or your log, anticipating the fact that Antideck are going to say you're evicted. But Jordan won't be out tonight. Jordan is without doubt my winner from day one. I thought, as I say, for the moment he threw up, I thought that's my winner.
He'll be thrilled to hear that.
Well, he's been absolutely charming. I think he's just handled it brilliantly. He's made people laugh. He laughs at himself. And people come to me for advice if they're going into the jungle. And my advice always is be yourself. And he is. I don't know him, of course. I've never heard of him before this show. But I sincerely believe he is being himself. He could not make that up.
Yeah, he is being as charming and lovely. I mean, I've known him for 11 years. The listeners have listened to this for 3 years. And I was, you know, you always, I don't know whether you detected this with any of the other series, Christopher, but it sort of is a little bit in the hands of those that are editing it as to how much of your personality is put out there.
Well, editing is the key to this show. And in fact, you can win or lose by the editing. I mean, you've got to look at someone like AJ, who I've met, who's a charming young man and a very good dancer. But apparently, you know, he's just coming over as dull as ditch water. And I think he's not being given his chance. I mean, I may be wrong. Perhaps he really is dull as ditch water and nobody wants to know. But he's certainly not being given the chances. And the only thing was, I love when he and the EastEnder guy...
Shane Ritchie.
Shane Ritchie had a moment about the washing up. And there were wonderful looks going backwards and forwards. And then it was announced they were going to do the challenge.
There hasn't... Other than that, and actually Shane has been sort of part of the tiny bit of tension that there has been in this series. But it hasn't been a very tense... camp, really. They've all sort of got on.
No, I think that's very unfortunate. And one of the things I put it down to is the castle, because I think the castle is too big. It's too spread. Like, for instance, they've got a sleeping area, they've got a sitting area, they've got a washing area. Well, we never had any of that. I mean, we used to have to go down to the pool and wash. So that was there. But, you know, they're all over the place. There's not one place. So consequently, no one's getting on top of each other. And, of course, at the end of the day, it's all very nice to everybody want to get on. But it's not fun. It's not fun from the audience point of view. They want to see rows. They want to see, you know, Gillian McKeith's fate and all that sort of thing go on. I mean, it's hysterical when that happens. And you want someone to really hate if you possibly can.
Well, we're entering the final week. Do we think that more tension, is this sort of the point where it all does, as you get rid of a few personalities as well, is this where more tension could come?
Yes, I think tension could start to build in a very big way. I mean, it was evident with AJ and the washing up business, which has been there before, because Shane obviously doesn't like to wash up. And there's the state of those pans. He left
disgusting.
Them. Disgusting. You wouldn't put that before Her Majesty the Queen, would you?
No, you absolutely would not. You wouldn't put it in front of a tramp. And he didn't like being pulled up on it, did he?
No, he did not. I mean, he's clever, Shane. He's not been in the business for late. And he's very funny. I mean, he is very funny indeed. But, I mean, I think it's... The castle has been great, but I hope they don't go back there. I mean, if I was going into the jungle this year, I would have been very disappointed to go into the castle, I must say, because it must be freezing in there.
Yeah.
I think that's why they're giving them hot water, because otherwise they'd all get pneumonia.
That would make great TV.
Yes, ITV is desperate for a death.
Now, when you were there in the jungle in Australia, you were joined in your hammock by a rat when you were sleeping. Now, as listeners will know, I was petrified of rats. I had to have hypnotherapy before I watched this series, so I could just cope with watching Jordan potentially do things with rats. How was Rat in Hammock? How did you cope? Were you scared?
Well, I tell you what, because Anna Ryder Richardson and myself, we had a challenge to go and earn breakfast for everybody. And we had to go to an underground room. And we walked down into the underground room and the door slammed behind us. And then when we were in there, there was just two hammocks, very tight hammocks. And we looked around and there was a port-au-loo in the corner and there was nothing else. And out of nowhere, we suddenly saw a rat or two arrive. And we screamed and we jumped onto the hammocks, which were very precarious. And, you know, you'd fall off immediately. And as we jumped onto them, we were aware that they'd let in 200 rats.
Oh, my God.
Into this area. Now, it was nighttime, so they had a night camera on us, which was that was brilliant, actually, because we did manage to fall asleep, Anna and I. But we decided if one got on top of us, that would be it. We'd say it was able to get us out of here. So anyway, time goes on and I fall asleep and then I wake up and I'm sure that there's something on me. But in fact, in the dark, I'm convinced it's my water bottle. In fact, it's a rat, which I've nearly got my hands on. And the rat is walking around my crutch And I then, what I do is I cover a sheet with the rat. So the rat now is covered. And then I lay back again. I sort of go back to sleep. And then the rat comes out from underneath the cover. And then I touch it and I scream and I threw it against the wall where we were confined of this cell. And that's where history was made. I mean, it is one of the funniest moments I think they've ever had. And I screamed, "Oh my God, get it off me, get it off me." And it was perfect. I mean, it wasn't perfect at the time, but it was perfect
no.
television.
Are you okay with rats now? Is it exposure therapy? You're fine with them now?
When I won The Jungle that year, the following year I went back to do a documentary for ITV about the making of the series. And I met the man who deals with all the animals, all the critters. Oh. And he has his own little area on the set. And for 6 months beforehand, he breeds everything. And I think the cleverness is of that, including the rats, is the fact that they're all clean. They're not, the cockroaches aren't dirty. I mean, can you imagine if something happened to one of the celebrities? And we were laughing earlier about people dying. You know, nothing is going to kill you in there. It's the thought. Yeah. Of things which will kill you off.
Oh, that's yeah. Okay, well, interesting. I didn't know that they breed all their cockroaches and maggots and rats. And
yes, very nice young man who does that.
Nice to have a hobby. did you? And also going back to the sleeping bit, whether you were in a hammock or it was part of a task or somewhere else, did you mind being filmed sleeping? Because I think it's a bit voyeuristic for ITV to be filming people sleeping. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's very interesting you should say that. The first night when I went to sleep in the open, underneath the sky, underneath the stars, I did think to myself, now what's going to crawl over me during the night? And I did fall asleep. And in fact, I slept the best I've ever slept in my life, every single night. So much so that I think they might have been putting bromide in the water. because we had no, I mean, there was not one sexual thought. And I checked with all the men. I mean, nobody woke up with an erection in the morning at all. It was all very sort of, I was going to say anal, but I didn't mean anal. It was also...
There's a lack of that.
Exactly. All above board. But we didn't have any, and it was fascinating. I remember one morning waking up with a start because there was a sound guy literally 2 inches away from my face putting a new battery into my mic.
Oh,
and that frightened me because I wasn't expecting that, but it was very funny. And of course, it is one of the cleverest televisions because nobody backstage, and no cameraman, no sound guy, no whatever producer, nobody's allowed to talk to you. And even their watches are covered over, so you don't even know what time it is. I mean, it's brilliant game.
Jordan has the other day shaved off his beard, his almost trademark beard. Are you pro or anti Jordan's new look?
I love his new look. I think it's great. I think he looks nice and fresh.
Yes.
And, I think people with beards have to be very careful because I think they can look very tame and sort of rough and, but I think he looks fantastic now. I mean, I really hope he keeps it. I suspect he won't when he gets back. He'll start growing it again.
Yes.
But he looks wonderful, I think, at the moment. Really good. And I loved it when he was in the shower the other day and they were tweaking each other's nipples. That was very funny indeed.
Yes. Can you see our producer Ben's beard?
Yes, I can. I can. Hi.
Yes. Now, that should be shaved
it
off.
Should. Ben, you should get rid of that.
Yeah.
When we finish this interview, please go and get rid of it.
Good. Thank you. I tell him that all
he's
the time.
He's smiling, but he's not believing us, I don't think.
No, he will. We'll make him. We've got this on tape now. With less than a week to go, who is your prediction for King or Queen of the Castle?
Well, I Jordan has to be my favorite, as I said, my favorite, and I think he will definitely win it because I think he's proved himself to be a really nice, normal guy. And I think that's what the public want. I also love the Coronation Street woman.
Beverly Callard,
who I think has had some of the funniest lines. I mean, I only became a vegan in March. One of my favourite lines.
Like so much of the country.
Yes, exactly. And she was regretting it already. what does she call her husband? Shag something?
Mega Shag.
Mega Shag. I mean, that poor man. How's he going to live that down? And I think she is good. If there's a king or a queen, I think it could be either of those. I think the others are very good too. You know, I think but I think it's really cut and clean somehow who's going to win this year already.
Well, we shall see. Fingers crossed. I'm very worried that we might all be jinxing it.
Oh, no, don't say that.
No, I'm sure we'll be fine. Obviously, Jordan can't hear us, but let's pretend he can. Can you share a good luck message for Jordan?
Jordan, I think you've been absolutely wonderful in the Jungle 2020. I mean, 2020 is going to go down as one of the anus horribilis years the Queen has ever seen. And you have given us all a light and a freshness to this year. You've made it very special, and we all love you for that. You thank you for being yourself. Thank you for going ahead. And thank you for winning, which I hope you will do in a week's time.
He's made all of our anuses less horribilis. Christopher, thank you so much indeed.
It's a pleasure. A very great pleasure.
On tomorrow's episode, we'll be chatting to Jordan's friend and CBBC presenter, Joe Tasker. Don't miss us too much. There's another episode with you tomorrow. But until then...
bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.